We are the co-hosts of the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented to you by Peter Inch and Associates, Heating and Air Conditioning. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you will be able to listen every Saturday morning from 9 to 10, as we provide you, our listeners, with some information about your heating, air conditioning, and maybe a little bit about curling. Maybe not today, though.
We'll see.
And also, just most importantly, we'd love to answer your questions, so if you can send them in to us at inchbyinch@peterinch.ca, we can answer them on the next Saturday show. If you can give us an opportunity, please send that to us. How are you today, Mr. Timpany?
I'm very good, Steve. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Just to let our listeners know, Peter was called in sick, so...
You're stuck with me.
Not as well. The show must go on.
As it must say. Go on.
So here we are today, as we're doing this, we're getting ready, and we're just going to see what we can do in Peter's absence, and hopefully it goes well.
Yeah.
So if you could just refresh our listeners, Dean, what is your role here at the company, Peter Inch & Associates?
I'm one of the sales associates here, so I help individuals with their heating, cooling, and any sort of water heater needs, air quality, that sort of thing.
Cool. And we've been open since January the 4th.
Correct.
And
yeah.
How are things been going for you?
Been going well.
Excellent.
Been going well. Little quieter right now in the in-between seasons than we'd probably like, but it's typical.
Yeah, but
it's always typical.
This fall weather, like this, the other day it was 12 degrees when I woke up.
Yeah, it's going to pick up. Yeah. Well, we already are picking up.
Yeah. And you've got an RV that you love to do.
I do. Yeah, it's out right now, actually.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's gone to Grand Canyon.
Is it really?
It is. Yeah.
So that kind of strikes me as curious. What kind of mileage do you put on one of those a year?
I'm not sure. We haven't had it for a full year yet. It's only 6 months old. We've got, I think it's 18,000 kilometers we put on it this year so far.
Is that
not
right?
Not just us, of course, but
right.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. And that's rented through a site that...
Correct. We rent it through a site called RVZ. Okay. Little plug for RVZ there.
Right. And you can rent all kinds of different...
tent trailers to trailers to just motorhomes. Just, yeah, basically anything. It's Airbnb for RVs is what it is.
And of course, you and your wife, Lisa, get first choice of when you want to use it, correct?
Absolutely. That's the reason we did it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right. So, and so now you've got renters and they're in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, we've got a couple of ladies, actually, that took it out. A woman came to us and she wanted to travel down to the Grand Canyon, and she's from Australia, but living in Canada for 20 years. And one of her better friends when she was in Australia came over, and the two of them have taken it through the States down to Grand Canyon right now. They're just starting their second week with it right now over a 3 week time.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait to see the pictures.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so then at some point in time, you have to put it away for the winter, I take it, right?
We don't have to. It is fully winterized, but we doubt we're going to get the same traction in the rentals over the winter as we do now. But that'll be some time that Lisa and I will take it out. Like, we blocked off the Thanksgiving weekend.
Nice.
So my daughter Abby and Lisa are going to go to Michigan, and they're going to tour around a little bit, take some fall pictures and things like that.
That sounds wonderful.
Little trips you normally wouldn't do if you didn't have something.
I guess not, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So that's been great for you guys.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Okay.
It's been really cool.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a glamper, right? You know, I've done tenting, but really...
My tent days are long behind me.
Yeah, I just don't know if I can...
Well, you certainly are glamping in this thing.
Okay.
With the full bathroom, full kitchen, shower, everything. You're not roughing it.
Like I do, I love my kayak, and I love everything about kayaking. I just, you know, the something about being in a tent on the ground, and it's not as attractive as it used to be.
No, my tent days are back.
Yeah,
they're in the rear view now.
Yeah, You are one. One point in time, you were looking at maybe getting a kayak carrier for your unit.
We're still toying with the idea. Lisa likes to kayak, and so do I. We're still toying with it. There's a place we saw this really cool kayak. There's a guy in New Jersey somewhere that allows you to put them vertically on the back. Like we're already over 11 feet high, so we really don't want to put anything on top, and that's where all the solar panels are.
Right.
Mount them on the side.
Yeah, but then that's difficult
too. It is, especially with the mirrors, and you got a rear view mirror in that thing, so you got to be careful of that.
Wow, okay.
So you want to make sure you can see.
Right. I see. So if they're standing upright at the back, then they just have to be low enough that they're going to...
Well, we're 11 and a half feet high now, so you wouldn't want anything over 12 feet back there.
Right. Well, a 12-foot kayak is plenty big enough anyways, right?
So, well, you would know that better than I would
then, at this point. Like a 12-footer, that's from the ground up.
So correct.
You'd probably only want a 10-foot kayak because you're going to have to be off the ground by a foot or two.
Right. And it is angled a bit, so you do get a little bit that way, okay. But you wouldn't want much bigger than that. That's what he said on the YouTube video I watched, is you wouldn't want much over 12 feet.
12 feet.
Yeah, that's what he said, with the way it sits.
That's kind of cool.
And it's on an arm, too, so it doesn't restrict you from opening up the back to get to the garage or anything like that. So.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So that, and then maybe, you know, that might be... Because sometimes you'd have to have a carrier to get it up on your roof.
You'd correct. You would.
Where if they're standing upright at the back, you know, their kayaks aren't heavy. They're more
awkward
than they are anything else. So
yeah.
To stand one up would be fairly easy, I would think.
Yeah, I don't think it would be that difficult. It was kind of neat, the whole carrier thing you made. It was cool.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Okay. Well, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
We just finished a very long, well, I say we, I only had to work two shifts, so I really came out of it looking pretty good, but we just came out of a very long stint at the Western Fair.
We did too. Peter was the one that took the brunt of that one.
Right, and so Tourism London was promoting the Brier, which was coming up next March for curling fans. It's the Men's Canadian Championship, and we were dragging our street curling game around, and they paid for a spot for street curling.
Yes, they did.
So then there's the onerous task of volunteering the street curling game for 10 days at the Western Fair.
Yeah, and it was an onerous task.
People who don't understand that the curling game really takes three people to run it smoothly and keep lines running through it effectively. So, I mean, if you're thinking, and you really only can do that for a short period of time because your feet start to...
Yeah, you're on concrete floors, and you're just standing, it takes it on the legs and the feet for sure.
So there was a lot of volunteers that put in some time, as well as some of our partners as well, to make that all happen. So I just want to give a shout out to everybody that helped with the curling game at Western Fair.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. It was an attraction and it was busy because it's, again, you know, go to a fair like that, it's one of the few things they don't charge a ton for.
Well, that was because kind of funny because we were there, I was there on the last Saturday of the fair, and these people came up and just said, "Oh, that was absolutely awesome, just awesome, thank you. This is the best game of the fair." Well, one of the reasons is because it's free.
Yeah.
But it really is. I mean, a lot of people came away with a new understanding and knowledge of what curling is, so that was exciting.
Well, it was also really exciting to see the number of people who picked up the brochures. Like, I was there last weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, and a couple of nights during the week. And there was a number of people that picked up the pamphlets for the Learn to Curl program and getting information for their kids to get them into the game.
Yeah. So we just want to say just a huge thank you for that, and thank you for Tourism London, because mm-hmm. it really is a great piece of equipment to promote curling.
And it was a popular spot.
Yeah, it allows people to really kind of figure that out. So we just want to say thank you for that. So at this point in time, we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. When we're not on the radio, you can reach us at 226-499-3752 or always online at peterinch.ca. To listen to our show, you can listen to any one of our shows. You can go to our website at peterinch.ca and hit the podcast button at the top of the homepage. I'm Steve Gilbert. This is Saturday, September the 24th. This is our 34th show, and I have Mr. Dean Timpany across the table from me. Hey, Dean.
Hi, Steve.
So just want to say thank you for coming in, Dean, on short notice.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
We were talking about the fair.
Yes.
Right. And?
It was a big surprise for me. The fair's changed a lot since I was a child.
Yeah, it really has,
right? It was more of a midway. I was surprised at the lack of the interior stuff compared to years gone by.
Yeah, it certainly. And there was a lot of people.
Tons of people.
Yeah.
It was packed. And I was there on the last night on Sunday evening. And the indoor building, the Agriplex where we were, closed at 9 o'clock. And the midway closed at 10. And I was just dumbfounded at the number of people that were still in the building at 9. They had to announce that it was closing and basically ask people to leave. And the outside was still just jammed.
Yeah.
I expected it to die down, but it didn't.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. While I was there on the last Saturday, there was a lady that came up, one of our listeners, which was great. And she was just looking for some information. I wanted to give her a shout out. She was looking for information on indoor air quality for her apartment.
Okay, yeah.
And I promised that I would talk to her about that. But apartments are different. They're different animals.
Well, it's going to depend on the type of comfort system she has in the house, too, on what can be added, can't be added, and that sort of thing. You might be stuck with portable, but hopefully
right, and that's the thing. So, you know, portable, there's all kinds of portable stuff on
the
market.
There's tons of portable stuff on the market today.
I just had the pleasure of getting back from a conference in Ottawa the past few days, and IAQ was a big topic, as you can imagine, coming out of a pandemic. So
yeah, with the last couple of years, has really shined a spotlight on all of it.
Yeah, and they were really focused on ventilation, so fresh air, and filtration.
Mm-hmm. Well, ventilation's become a big thing, too, as
yeah.
we've improved the efficiencies of our homes as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, in her case, if she's trying to improve air quality, you know, they make these portable HEPA cleaners.
There's a lot of those on
right.
the market. Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's certainly something that, you know, if she didn't have ductwork in the house, we could recommend that for her.
Yeah, there's even ones that have UV ability in them, too.
Yeah, they do a little bit of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're standalone units that have ultraviolet as well as filtration in them as well.
Yeah, you just need to be aware that what you're buying really is a single room type piece of equipment.
Yeah.
In most cases.
And they really, you know, they need access in order to filter air. So if you close it up in a bedroom, it's not going to do anything else for the rest of the living room. But, I mean, keep in mind that there's air movement when you're in an apartment. But
you hope.
Yeah. Yes, you do hope.
Some of them, not so much.
But you have to keep in mind that they really do need open concept if you're trying to achieve something.
Absolutely.
But the good thing about a portable, though, you can drag it from room to room, right?
Yeah, you can move it around. It's a lot of them aren't that large, so they're not too difficult to move. The bigger ones are only the size of even a dehumidifier type appliance, which isn't that difficult to move either for most.
But the big downfall on a portable unit would be noise.
Yes, they are noisier.
So if you're running a HEPA or one of these other units, I mean, and you're trying to watch TV or maybe you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, you're going to pump up the volume.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. I mean, if you're thinking about buying something like this, you really probably should try to find one and listen to it and just really to see what's involved. I mean, when we connect a HEPA to your duct system for your home, it's down in the furnace room. So you really don't necessarily hear that noise throughout the entire house. But I mean, they can be loud if you're just going to run them as a portable.
And they can be loud, but you also got to make sure you're getting the one that's going to do what you're trying to target as well.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, do some research. If you want our opinion, you can certainly give us a call and you can ask for Dean or myself or even Murray.
Yep.
And we can certainly answer those questions for you. I'll actually, you know, I'll go online and look at the product first just to see what it does. And
because there are so many out there. Yeah, there's a ton of options.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind going forward. If it's something that we carry, we can certainly order it in for you, and you can, you know, mm-hmm. for portable, we would just, you know, you could just come and pick it up. But yep. That's always options, right?
Tons of options with lots of things to do that way.
So we're in a really awkward time of year.
We are.
So I mean, during the day it's hitting 25, 26. So your air conditioner may want to come on. But nighttime, we're cooling off now.
Well, yeah, we gauge that with Murray. he comes in wearing a parka and leaves with it over his shoulder.
Yes, yeah. So, I mean, and it's confusing for consumers on a number of levels. One is, you know, what do they do? Maybe, do they turn the furnace on? Do they turn their air conditioner? You know, they're really confused as to what they should do.
Yeah, because you like to have it, at least in my household, we like to have it on because we want the air circulation.
Right.
So we want one of the two appliances running most of the time. However, there is that in-between window where you don't really require heat yet and you don't really need cooling anymore. We run our fan
all
just
the time.
Just to make sure we're still getting air circulation throughout the house. And that evens the temperatures out for us.
Right. And that seems good for you?
It does.
Yeah. And the added benefits to running your fan all the time. Our filtration.
You're going
to
filter your air 24/7. If you're not running a fan, you're only filtering it when the heat's on or when the cooling's on.
So better humidity control.
Better humidity control, better air circulation, better quality of air. There's all kinds of benefits with it.
So, but keep in mind that some furnaces, some older technology, we don't really recommend the fan systems just because of their electrical use.
I was going to say, we recommend it, but they may not like electrical bill.
Yeah, some older furnaces, the electricity they would use would be similar to running your pool filter 24/7.
Correct. So. Yeah, they're running AC power still on them.
So it can be quite expensive. So, I mean, keep that in mind. And if you have an older furnace with that type of technology, you're probably looking, maybe it's time to upgrade that furnace.
You wouldn't be sorry.
No,
you wouldn't be sorry. You'd be surprised. I always get reminded, one of my first customers that I ever had in this industry, you'd be surprised because you live it for 20 years with a furnace.
Yes.
And you don't know what the bills could be compared to what you are. And you just think that this is what it is in today's world, but it doesn't always have to be.
Right. Now, we were just talking about this just yesterday. You opened your gas bill the other day, right?
I did.
And it went down.
Oh, yes. It never seems to go that direction.
So people are receiving, what we kind of figure out, 40% increase on their...
Mine was 48.6.
Percent increase.
Percent increase.
Right. Which is staggering.
Enormous. Yeah, I was shocked, and I'm in the industry.
Right. So part of that is cost of fuel, but... There's a carbon tax
component. That's the big one that's hit. And we're right at the beginning of this carbon tax and things going up.
That's right. So keep that in mind when you look at your bill. Just you'll see the carbon tax portion, and you need to be cognizant of that. So there's a lot of talk. We've been talking a lot about heat pumps. There's programs coming out called hybrid heating systems, which are the use of heat pumps and furnaces. But there's a lot going on in our industry right now, and the heat pump talk is not going to go away.
It's not going away at all. It's going to pick up steam. Very few companies, I should say, are looking with air conditioning anymore. Everybody's gravitating towards the heat pump.
Right. And so there's some new programs coming out soon, so keep that in mind. Be alert on that.
Yeah, we're getting to take part in that pilot project again like we did last year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So just keep in mind. I mean, nowadays, just be cognizant of what's going on. So it's not really a bad time to upgrade your equipment.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Not with the incentives that are available. And heat pumps can be up to 300% more efficient.
Yeah. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back, but we're just going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. Sorry, I'm not usually on this side of the table, so
you forgot for a second where you were.
I did. Right? Yeah, yeah. And just want to say thank you. I've got Dean Timpany across the table with me today, this morning, on this beautiful Saturday, and we're talking about heating and air conditioning, like we always do.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you're not a curler, Dean.
No, I am not.
Okay. But how is it that you work here, then?
Luck. I know heating and air conditioning and heat pumps.
So it was kind of funny. I was in Ottawa a few days ago. I got back, but there was a package waiting for me on my desk.
There was a package on your desk, and you were like a little kid in a candy store.
Well, I really was. I every few years, it's time to upgrade my curling shoes.
Yes.
And it's a big deal, really. And the rule is, as a curler, is you don't change your shoes halfway through a season because shoes have a different feel to them. And so as you get comfortable with your shoes and your sliding delivery, and that's how you get your draw weight, all these things, last thing you want to do is mess with that, right?
I can understand. I can't understand the curling part, but I can understand the equipment part.
Yes.
Playing different sports, I can totally get that.
Right. So hence the importance of getting your shoes at the beginning of the curling season, right?
I guess. Yeah. It would be the same as any other piece of equipment. You'd want it at the start so you can break it in properly.
Yeah, so I ordered my curling shoes. This year I had gold lines for the past few years. I really enjoyed them, but this year I chose a different manufacturer completely. I went to Balance Plus, and they're a very good shoe. And
so you hope?
I hope. And so anyways, I was waiting for them to arrive, and here they were on the desk, right?
Right, raring and ready for you.
Yeah, and I was pleased that Peter didn't open the package and investigate because, you know, sometimes he would do that. So I was pleased about that. And so when I open up the package, you were quite interested in...
I'd never seen a pair before.
Yeah. So you were joking about it this morning, but you just said, when you asked me to look at my shoes, you said I was really reluctant and... a little bit hesitant to pass them to you.
Oh, I kind of envisioned a hockey goaltender where somebody wanted to take a look at his equipment and they don't want anybody else to touch them. You were hesitant to let me touch them, which was kind of funny.
And then you just said, why don't you just see a slide down on the tile? And I said, Dean, this...
I was smart enough to know that you didn't want to scuff that, but I was teasing you about it.
These sliders are brand new and they're not scuffed. They're perfect, and I want to appreciate the way they look for the time being.
Well, I wanted you to just kind of slide down the tile like you were in the hack and see what you could do.
But you know what? You come to St. Thomas Curling Club anytime, and you can see me on the ice with those shoes.
Yeah. Speaking of ice, I did see the ice that we've got put in the St. Thomas Curling
Very nice.
Club
It
right
looks
now.
Beautiful.
It does.
Yes, it looks beautiful. Kevin and his crew did a great job.
The logo looks beautiful.
Yeah, we have a logo set in the ice. So we do, St. Thomas Curling Club has what we call in-ice ads for businesses. And so we purchased one of those ads, and it's the decals right in the ice. And
one of the nicest logos I've ever seen.
It is. It's beautiful. Yep. Absolutely gorgeous. Well, I suppose we should talk more about heating and air conditioning, right?
Yes, considering that's what they're tuning in for.
So
they don't want curling advice from me.
No. We talked about difficult time of year. We talked about heat pumps. And then that heat pump conversation's not going away. And we talked about a higher gas bill because of carbon tax. So when I was in Ottawa just this past week, we got a chance to we talk about where the future of the industry is going. We talk about labor shortages. And so if you're a listener and you have someone a son or a daughter, a big thing about getting women in trades these days. The trade is going in the trades is a great career. It's a great life. And
we're starving for good people.
We are certainly in a huge labor shortage these days, and the whole industry is. So I encourage anybody to investigate being a tradesperson. And lots of opportunity for women in trades.
There is. I was in the hardware store the other day with Abby, and I pointed out the the nice pink tools and everything and told her this would be great for you.
It would.
I wasn't able to sell that, but yeah. I tried.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. The talk these days is about climate, as we know, and buzzwords in our industry are decarbonization, which is...
Electrification.
And electrification. So some of those ways that we can help achieve those are... when we come to your home and you're looking at maybe a furnace, we're going to talk to you about heat pumps as well. It's not, you just need to be aware of what's coming, what's on the marketplace. And the other thing that I found very interesting is the fact that part of this whole transition into electrifying our homes and maybe electric cars and all these things is
water heaters.
Well, water heaters, but also making your home more efficient so we can support all this going on. So there's a big proponent these days of making your home more airtight than even it is before. So lot of programs still on insulating your home and doing windows and doors and all those things. So it's very interesting. And
well, the government's really pushing it.
Well,
and they have to.
And the more energy efficient you make your home, you're going to help reduce the cost of that fuel bill.
Well, and the greenhouse gases going into our environment.
Yes, all those things.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we have a few things in the mailbag that came in, and I had circled this because it's the time of year because we don't know whether heating or cooling or anything, but. It's the humidifier. So I opened the damper for my humidifier just recently as the furnace will be turned on soon. Not sure where the dial should be set at.
And that's a question that I'm sure you get, but I get all the time, Steve. Every house is going to be a little different. The more sealed up your home, the less humidity you're going to require. But every house is unique. Every individual is unique in what you're looking for. But generally, you're probably looking somewhere between 25 and 45%.
Right. And really, every house supports, you know, can support. Some houses can support a lot more moisture than others.
They can.
I find it kind of funny because relative humidity in a home really wasn't in the forefront until we put the smart thermostat in.
It wasn't.
And the smart thermostat tells you humidity levels all the time. So now it's a concern, right?
Yeah, people see it now. They didn't see it before, no. So it wasn't a concern. But now it's right there in front of them all the time.
Yeah.
And it is much more of a concern.
And then I also love when we go into a person's home and I've got my digital sling psychrometer and I'm measuring and I say, well, your house is okay. I've got it at about 35%. Oh, and then they bring out their award.
Yes.
Hygrometer that they've had on the wall for 30 years and they're trying to have an argument with
and
you.
That's
that,
a new one.
They're trying to have an argument with you that their humidity level says it's this. Anyway, regardless, as humidity is a crucial thing, and we really want to get it right for you.
Well, you want to get it right, but it's also, it eases the heating load as well.
Yes. And maybe you can explain that just a bit.
Yeah, people don't understand. Like, I always get a kick out of it, and it makes sense when you explain it, but in the winter time, we're not as moist. In the summertime, we have an air conditioner, and it takes the moisture out of the air. But 30 degrees, 0% humidity is a beautiful day. 30 degrees, 90% humidity, I melt. But it's the exact same temperature. And when you relay it that way, people can start, they really understand now that moisture holds heat.
Yes.
Because that 90% humidity day here in Ontario is not a fun day at all.
No, it is not.
So moisture does hold heat. So the more moisture you have in your home in the wintertime, the more comfortable it is going to be. But again, you have to watch that because if your home is sealed up, you're going to start getting moisture on the windows and sweat. You got to really watch where your humidity levels are.
Yeah, and that can cause other issues like mold on the windows.
Absolutely. A multitude of issues that way.
Yeah. So really, but it is time to turn our humidifiers on or at least have them ready to be turned on.
Ready is the key. I don't think you need it yet, but you're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Well, thanks for that. We do have to take another quick break, so when we get back, we'll talk more. Okay. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. My name is Steve Gilbert. This is Saturday, September the 24th, and I have Dean Timpany with me. Hey, Dean.
Hi, Steve.
So we're back. We're going to talk. We're into some mailbag questions. Thank you to our listeners that send those in to us, and we just want to say thank you. So I'm just going to jump right into this, Dean, and just maybe get your insight into some of this stuff.
Fire away.
Okay. I cleaned and covered my AC for the winter. Does it matter if the breaker is left on or should I shut it off?
That's a question you get all the time, and it really depends on the equipment you have out there. If it's a newer air conditioner and a communicating system, if you shut it off, you're going to be calling us because there's going to be error messages that come up. It is, in the past, it was always something that we advise people to do because there is a crankcase heater in there, and that crankcase heater can make the area warm.
Right.
And of course, it attracts vermin to nest in there, chew up all the wires, which gets another invitation for us to come back out in the spring.
But that doesn't happen until in the springtime.
In the springtime. You won't notice until it's too late.
Yes. Yeah, when you want that cooling on and then there's nothing happens and then,
The good thing, the smart thing there to answer that question would be is when you get your furnace maintained or your air conditioner maintained, ask the technician what their advice is on that.
Yeah.
They'll know what type of air conditioner you have and
what
is the best course of action for you there.
For me, I have this fear that my tenants who love air conditioning because Lexi spent my tenants is my daughter and anyways Lexi spent a lot of time many years in Grand Prairie, so you know minus 40 weather is very comfortable for her, not so comfortable for Dad.
Yes.
So anyway, it's kind of interesting how you get used to that and how your body just gets used to temperatures and everything. So anyway, she prefers the house colder. I mean, really cold in the summertime with the air conditioning. And hence, when heating season comes around, I like a warmer house. She tends to like it cooler. So it's kind of interesting. Because of that fact alone, I have this fear of an accidental startup when I put the winter cover on my air conditioner. So when I shut my air conditioner down, I put the cover on it. Once I put the cover on, I snap the breaker off. And that's just,
it's a safety mechanism.
I don't want my tenants to my daughter, to turn my air conditioner on with the cover on.
Nothing good's going to happen
there. It really isn't. Nothing good is going to happen with that. So it's kind of a safety precaution for me. But really, you can... My air conditioner is not a communicating one, so I don't have to worry about the error codes. But yeah, so that's just the way I do it. And then I just have to remember when I take the cover off to turn the breaker back on.
You're going to be calling somebody.
And that's kind of a silly sale. That's a silly service call, right? Our guys do it all the time.
It happens. They
go out and they just go, well, we found the problem, Mr. Timpany. Click, turn the breaker on, and away they go.
People get some giggles out of that one, and they feel silly.
Yeah, they sure
do. But it does happen.
Myself included, right?
Yeah, it happens.
Or as Peter forgot to change his filter the other day, and his air conditioner froze up, which is, it happens. It happens to us.
It happens to everybody.
Right. So here's another question out of the mailbag. How long should a water heater last? They've never had a maintenance done on it. Does it require maintenance every so often?
Maintenance on a general water heater, not so much. Maintenance on the newer ones, there are heat pump water heaters now that are starting to come into play. They definitely need maintenance.
Right.
There are tankless water heaters. They definitely need to be flushed and maintained. You're basically putting a furnace on your wall there. So
you really are.
You need to really maintain those. The power vented tanks, the conventional tanks, there's not a lot of maintenance to do on those. Although you could drain them manually, and that would help get some of the sediment out of it.
Yes.
Which would allow it to operate more efficiently and better. But generally, that's not really done too often that I'm aware of. Life expectancy on a water heater, the conventional, the power vented tanks, you're looking anywhere from 8 to 14, 12 years.
Right.
A lot of the insurance companies will start getting after you between 10 and 12 years.
Yeah, and they're certainly the insurance companies are being a lot more proactive.
A lot more proactive about it because they don't want to be insuring floods,
right,
things like that.
Yeah.
So generally, I would say somewhere between 10 and 12 years.
Okay, awesome. And the you said the hybrid heat pump water heater. So that's a new product that's out.
It's new, newer to us, not as new in the States.
Okay.
I was reading an article the other day that up in Maine and Vermont, 60% of the water heaters they're putting in up there now are heat pumps.
Right. And so it's a water heat, electric water heater.
Correct.
So it helps with decarbonizing your home.
Mm-hmm.
And it can run on electric element, or it can run on heat pump mode, or it can kind of do a little bit of both, if I'm understanding.
Yeah, it runs like a heat pump or an air conditioner in reverse, same idea, but it has an electric backup. So if you're pulling more water than the heat pump portion can keep up with, then it will put on the electric elements to make sure that you don't run out of hot water.
Okay, and we have those in stock.
We do.
Yeah. And so some of the maintenance on that, there's a filter system in them because the heat pump is an active fan and compressor, so that air that's going through that has to be filtered.
Yes, it does.
Right.
Yeah, so there is some filtration requirements and general maintenance, just like you would on any other piece of equipment, furnace, air conditioner, heat pump, that sort of thing that we would want to look at and make sure is operating as efficiently. You're buying something like that for its efficiency.
Absolutely.
You want to make sure it's running properly because if it's not maintained, cleaned regularly, you are paying for it. It's just a matter of where you're going to end up paying.
Awesome. Okay. Another mailbag question. Turned our furnace on recently. Worked for a short time and then shut off and wouldn't come back on. Ooh. Took the door off and heard a gurgling water sound. Is there a drain that the homeowner can empty, or is this a technician thing?
If your furnace is generally 25 to 30 years old or newer, then yes, there is a drain on it. Any sort of combustion or sealed combustion, high efficiency furnace is going to have drainage. You start taking a door off and hearing gurgling and things like that, you're going to want to call a technician. You want a professional to look at that. Electricity, water.
Can I use liquid plumber or something like that?
Well,
or?
Electricity, water, gas. I don't. I'm not going to be on the radio here and record saying that you should start playing with that stuff.
No, I mean
you want a professional looking.
As I explained to customers, even on general maintenance on a furnace, you've got a box in your house which injects raw fuel into it on a regular basis, and then we ignite it.
Absolutely, yeah.
You want to make sure that that's working properly.
Right, you want to make sure what you're touching and what you know what's going to happen, too. It's not really something you want to start to... It's not trial and error,
is what I'm trying to say. It's not trial and error, no. So, I mean, we just allude to, you know, your furnace, as you get in your home, you recognize the sounds of your house. Everybody does. You recognize the sound of your refrigerator, your dishwasher, your furnace, your air conditioner, all those things make noise. And when all of a sudden, if you wake up one morning because they start making a different noise, something's changed. That's
something's
a cause for concern. And it could be something really simple. I mean, my brother called me because his outside air conditioner was noisy. And I just said, well, before I send a tech out to you, wash it off and see if it quietens down. It's probably plugged, and it's having a hard time getting air pulling through it. So sure enough, it was caked, and he washed it, and it went quiet again. So, I mean, sometimes there are simple things. Other times, it's going to be something a little bit more complicated.
It's still worth the phone call because...
Yes.
Even us at the office here, anybody answering the phone will give you some little hints on what it could be like that.
Yeah.
But it's not something you want to play trial and error on. And oftentimes, if you hear something, get on it quickly. It can be a small problem. You leave it, and it ends up being a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dean, for stepping in and taking my role today.
You're
and,
very welcome.
I get Peter's spot, but it's good.
Big shoes to fill for both of us. It's been fun, though. Thank you very much.
Awesome. So I just want to say thank you. When we're not on the radio, you can reach us at 226-499-3752 or always online at peterinch.ca. To listen to this show or any of our shows, go to the peterinch.ca website and hit our podcast button at the top of our homepage. And just remember, as we say at the shop, life is hard by the yard. Buy from Inch, life's a cinch. We'll see you next week.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.